T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Friday. What's up and welcome in April 5th, 2024. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson, and you are locked in to 106.7 The Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6:15 tonight. That is our new out time ahead of Nats baseball on weekdays, because they play 6:45 games now, no longer 7:05 home starts. We've got one last pair of tickets to the DC Defenders to give away today. We will do that ahead of our Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock, which will cover the Nats, the Caps, and the Commanders. So right at 4, kicking off the Blitz, we've got those tickets to this weekend's home opener at Audi Field, 4 o'clock Sunday game for the D.C. Defenders.
Boys caught a little D.C. deucing last night. Two teams play, two teams lose. One, doesn't matter. Nationals, long season, it's about the kids. Capitals, to a rival? I did not like that. I did not love it. Down, was it 2-0 after one? 3-0 into the third period? Kind of going, maybe let's get a goal and see what happens. And they got one on the board, but goodness gracious, that was deflating.
The first period was kind of hockey at its least enjoyable.
They least fair.
Dominated play. And quite literally, they outchanced the Penguins at high danger 4-1. They had 2-1 possession, twice as much offensive zone time as the Penguins did. Now, all of the numbers, if you punch them into a computer and tell it, hey, spit out a score for me, you're up at least a goal. Maybe it's two. Who knows? Maybe you're up 3-0. But it was the good guys and the locals that were down 2-0 after one. The first goal on a screen, which Pittsburgh earns, but goalie gets screened. Lindgren can't do anything. The second goal we've seen 1,000 times in the playoffs against the Penguins. It wasn't Patrick Hornquist. It was another guy. But bounces off a shoulder, off a knee, off a leg, off an arm, off the vendor in section 317, off a bucket of popcorn, off the sidewall, and then somehow past the goalie into the net off the ricochets. So it was 2-0. Caps were down. Rest of the game until the empty net goal was 1-1. I thought the second period, the Capitals played poorly. I would even say for stretches of that period, it was brutal. They couldn't get the puck into the offensive zone. But Pittsburgh didn't have a lot to show for it on the other end. Charlie Lindgren played his best period. Largely in the second, he gave up his third goal. The Penguins' third goal was really bad for Lindgren. Went between his arm and his body in the armpit, which is...
You know, savable shot there.
Absolutely. Got to make that save. But you take the second period out of it, the Caps for two periods were probably the better team, and that and a couple of bucks will get you some coffee because they got nearly shut out, as you mentioned. I guess the lone bright spot was that Alex Ovechkin scored, number 27 for him, one step closer to Wayne Gretzky. But more importantly, we said it all day yesterday. It's a gotta-have-it game. You win, you're probably making the playoffs. You lose, you're now unlikely to. And that's where we sit as they get ready for the Hurricanes tonight. On the road, by the way.
Yep.
Second night of a back-to-back with Carolina at home welcoming you, playing good hockey. They lost last night, so they'll be angry.
Yeah, and Carolina's nasty. They got 20 more points basically than Washington does. They've been good all year. Plus, you know, we know about a couple old friends that are down there. So yeah, that one stung, man. That loss was tough. It kind of reminds me, as we were talking during this great streak that they now seem to be, it's in the rearview mirror, where they're punching above their weight class a little bit. This probably shouldn't be happening, especially without Wilson, especially without Oshie most of the time. And a lot of these kids are kind of coming up and getting these experiences for the first time. It just reminds you how tenuous all of that was. It was great. It was fun. I had a great time. You know, I'm not saying nothing's over at this point. You're still very much alive. You're still very much in it. You still, you know, trail, I think, the Islanders by a point. You're tied with Detroit now the same number of games played as Detroit. You're right there. You still could get in, but it reminds you how kind of fragile that whole thing was, right?
They've made their bed here.
Mm-hmm.
They had a four-game sequence in a row through last night where 8 points were on the line and they got one. So...
Yeah, it's a good way to put
it. You've gone from a 76% chance or whatever it was at peak, maybe 79%, according to some of the analytics sites, to get into the playoffs to now today, some of those same sites have them in the 30s, 38, 39%. Now, that swings very quickly. You beat Carolina tonight and get a little help on the out-of-town scoreboard. All of a sudden, you're the favorite to get back into the playoffs. So, as funny as it sounds with 7 games left, maybe it's still a little too early to look at some of those percentages that we've been eyeing. But this is a tough task. And because you lost a home game to a team you were better than, Pittsburgh, you beat 6-0 last time you played them. They're playing a lot better now. Sidney Crosby has been great lately. You have to birdie a hole to make up for the bogey last night. And this is a game that on the schedule did not look like a win. In fact, when you were looking at this 4-game sequence, you go, I don't love that Carolina one,
yeah,
second night
tough.
Of a back-to-back. But now you've lost a couple that you could have and should have won, so mm-hmm. You got to steal this one if you're going to get back in the mix. But yeah, it was a really, really damaging setback last night. No doubt about that. You mentioned the Nationals. Couple of things in that game that are notable to me. The first is actually a good thing. C.J. Abrams homered again. C.J. Abrams has 2 home runs in his first 6 games, Danny. We are seeing, I think, the start of what could be a really big breakout
here. He is going to be a star.
C.J. Abrams has power. He's got speed. It's way too early to care about numbers, but he's 8 for his first 24, so he's hitting over .330, and he's got an OPS highest on the team, .1074, hitting at the top of the order. I like to remind people, C.J. Abrams is 23 years old. The majority of 23-year-olds are still in double or triple A. It just so happens that we've been watching C.J. Abrams at the major league level extensively, starting in 2022, in San Diego when he came up and then got traded to Washington and played in over 80 games. So this is his third year in the majors, but he's only 23. And he is one of the few guys in this sport that has what I would consider to be pretty true 25 home run, 60 steals, stolen base potential. But we're seeing the beginning of a season that maybe is him becoming the star that you just alluded to. This was Abrams at Nats Park last night.
Here's the pitch to C.J. Abrams, belted a deep right center field. This is way back. Taylor's watching it. It's going, going, and gone. Goodbye. C.J. Abrams, second home run of the year, lands in section 142 above the big 14-foot, 8-inch wall. Bang, zoom, goes C.J. Abrams. Home run number 2 and RBI number 5.
Here's what I love about Abrams and the power. When he hits balls, he crushes them.
That's right.
It's like 105 to 110 off the bat generally on his home runs. We've seen him go 430 and 440. Last night was 415. His home runs are struck. Like, they are clobbered. He's not a big guy.
No.
Look at him. He is, I don't want to use the word skinny.
I mean, he's a little taller than you think. He's leveraging in that
he's
way, but
limmy.
He's not jacked.
No, there's not a ton of muscle tone. But he's obviously super muscle-bound and tight. But man, oh man, is C.J. Abrams a dude.
So a couple other things. Here's what I like the most about that. It was left on left. He struck out his first 2 at-bats against Martin Perez, a guy that's been around this league forever. You know, crafty lefty. The definition at this stage of a guy that's a crafty lefty. Not throwing 100 miles an hour. Didn't look real comfortable, I didn't think, in his first couple at-bats. There's an adjustment that gets made. Drills one out, center/right center, call it like, 1:30 or 2 o'clock. As you look at the wall of a clock, but that's an adjustment that gets made, right? Like understanding what he's doing to you, how it's happening, what it looks like, and fixing it. That's what Major League Baseball is. It is a game of constantly evolving chess. Somebody says, hey, you can't hit that. That's what you're going to see until you hit it. And you make changes in-game, not over weeks, but within a couple of bats. It's a pretty big deal, man. I'm telling you, this guy has star potential.
Three straight multi-hit games for Abrams in the three-game series against the Pirates. The Nats in action tonight. They host the Philadelphia Phillies. First of three at Nats Park will be a chilly evening. 6:45 first pitch. You can hear the game between a couple of teams that are 2-4 to start the season right here on The Fan. Before we move on from the Nationals, though, another really bad start for our guy Josiah Gray.
Yeah.
That's now two outings and two starts, and I think it's way too early in the season to get too down on him because, let's face it, if this was his 13th and 14th start, while it would be annoying and frustrating and would be going, man, he's in a funk, he's got to figure it out, you wouldn't be assuming like this is who he'll be all year. The first and second start of the year, we put a little more weight behind. But he had the opening day assignment in Cincinnati go very poorly, 8 hits, 7 earned runs. Yesterday, big start for him getting back on the mound to try to leave that in the rear view. 7 hits, 6 earned runs. He has not gotten through 5 innings yet. He is scuffling, and he has been dating back to spring training right after he got named the opening day starter.
Yep.
He'd had a really good spring again. Last year, remember, he had like a 1 ERA in the spring. So he was off to another great start in spring training this year. Davey named him the opening day starter. I think he pitched 2 more times in exhibition play after that. And he had 2 bad outings.
Walked the yard, wasn't real efficient. Yeah.
And now the first 2 starts of the year have been ugly.
So in the first inning, he gives up that little bloop double down the left field line that wasn't very hard hit. That's terrible luck. That stinks, right? That happens to everybody. I think it was Brian Reynolds, right? Just an end of the bat, little looper, terrible, terrible luck after a ground ball. Wasn't like he was giving up 5-run home runs there kind of throughout. A couple of walks, didn't pitch his way out of it. Like if you're going to be a front of the line guy, that bad adverse nonsense is going to happen, right? Little numbers that fall in, little pop-ups that land someplace. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Next batter, he walks. Now you're in position, the sacrifice fly happens, another walk, a ground ball single, another line out or a fly out, and now all of a sudden you look up and you're down 3-0. And it wasn't as if you gave up 7 cookies, right? It's the type of thing that when the bad stuff happens, it can't snowball like that. And that's the next step he's going to have to take.
Should point out for people who are checking us out today live on 106.7 The Fan all over the DMV, or if you're listening on the always free Odyssey app, wherever you are, thanks for tuning in to Grant and Danny. Austin Eckler is on the show at 3:30, coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes, the new Commanders running back. And at 6 o'clock, before we get out of here, for Nationals baseball, Cameron Harris, who's the starting running back for the DC Defenders, scored a couple of touchdowns in their title game last year. Was a star at the U, University of Miami. So we got the running backs for the Commanders and the Defenders on the show at 3:30 and 6 o'clock today. The Defenders, of course, have a home opener this weekend on Sunday at Audi Field. But I don't know how familiar you are with Eckler. He actually does his own fantasy football show.
Yeah.
Started as a podcast. Now there's a video element. But he is very, and I want to ask him about this, I think both interested and also now participating in the media field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is something that whenever he's done playing, which whether that's a year from now or 3 years from now, I think it's kind of the next foray for him. Now, I'll ask him about this.
I mean, he was an early adopter too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sort of at first it kind of started joking around where it's like, I have a fantasy team. I drafted myself. Ha ha ha. Funny. That's a neat thing. But he's like avid in terms of fantasy football.
Yes, I think he is. But I also think he just gets media. And understands that he could be a star. If you've never heard him on air before, he's a tremendous, really smart interview. He's one of those guys that can make football, which is very complicated, and takes these players being able to learn new languages and learn schemes that would take most of us months to try to grasp, and they do it in a couple of days or weeks. He makes it accessible to everybody. I really, really like hearing from him, so been trying to get him on for a few weeks, so very happy that we'll have Austin Eckler on the show today. And he's going to have a pretty big role for this Commanders team. I don't know that he's going to supplant Brian Robinson as their leading ball carrier, but he's certainly going to be the guy they use in 2-minute and 4-minute offense. He's going to be their leading pass catcher and most targeted back out of the backfield. When they're in hurry up or when they're trying to get down the field to set up a field goal before a half, you're going to see them feeding him like they used to feed J.D. McKissic. You're going to see a lot of Austin Ekeler this year, and if he's got tread on the tire, my guess is he's going to carry the ball a lot too.
Yeah, on passing downs, they're going to major in Ekeler, and I think there's a potential with this offensive staff. There's a lot of passing downs. You know what I mean? I think he's going to have a role, without a doubt. Now, it's definitely more of a thunder and lightning mix than you're used to, because a lot of positions, guys will go, I want one style, and we'll just sort of keep that throughout the roster, right? We want that kind of slashing, pass-catching running back. This is very much the early season, early down bell cow between the tackle thumper and scat back pass catcher, pass pro guy in Ekeler. It's contrasting styles.
I wonder if he's got any lightning left in him. This is not me asking, can he help you? Yes, he can.
He's going to help.
Can he be productive? Of course. Am I glad he's here? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen, like I've seen, some of the videos of him getting caught from behind last year. And some of that was right after his injury or in games where he was banged up. And I don't think it's fair. It's just the viral clip that everyone sends around to say Austin Ekeler doesn't have a whole lot left. But take that out of the equation, which may not be relevant. I wonder what his burst is compared to 3 years ago. What his max speed is compared to 3 years ago. He's dealt with a ton of injuries.
Yes.
And I do think that's a big, big question because, well, you talk about thunder and lightning. I think that's the idea. This big, physical, plodding, bruising back in Brian Robinson and then a much smaller, theoretically twitchier guy in Ekeler. But how much of that twitch and that wiggle
it's fair to wonder.
And the elusiveness is still going to be part of his game? Because he kind of became a little more of a tackle-breaking, like physical back as the year went on last year when he was getting his yards.
Right, which is not something I'm interested in majoring in, I would say, for this team, right? I want to make sure that when you have a guy that's been so proficient as a pass catcher, you're going to have to run him sometimes. You can't just have an obvious tell. It's like, okay, Ekeler's in the game. It's a swing pass. It obviously can't be that simple. So you have to do it sometimes, the same way they did with McKissick or Chris Thompson over the years. But I don't want him first down, you know, taking on the linebacker in the hole, fighting for that 2.5-3 yards. That's not what I'd like to major in with him, to kind of keep him as healthy as possible and utilize what he's best at.
I think one of the sneaky things maybe people don't know about their guy, if you listen to the show enough, you know a lot about us, right? You know I'm a chocolate chip cookie or no cookie guy. You know what my food proclivities, my interests are, what they aren't. I love a pass-catching running back. Oh, it's my favorite.
Yep.
A center fielder who's sterling defensively and covers ground like a Doppler radar, right? Someone who can go gap to gap and make a pitcher right. Someone who can bring a ball back from over the wall or make diving catches. You guys sleep on Luis Matos back in the day with the Baltimore Orioles. That's the dream for me. Gary Matthews Jr. in his prime. This was pre-Angels. This was probably Rangers, Birds, Gary Matthews Jr. Do you remember how good he was?
He could go get it, man.
He made the greatest catch I've ever seen. Remember the catch he made?
His whole arm was over the wall.
Yeah, on a dead sprint. I'm going to show you guys in the break because, Locke, you guys sleep on this catch. Danny remembers.
It was in Texas, wasn't it?
I think he was with the Rangers. Yeah, I don't know if it was home or not. But dead sprint, climbs the wall like Spider-Man, not looking at home plate. Save it for when I'm in there, though, because I want to watch it with you guys. Greatest catch I've ever seen. But those are my things. I love a center fielder who can just go cover ground and a pass-catching running back. So I'm sneaky, just steamed for Austin Ekeler.
I smell what you're cooking.
I love it.
My weakness.
My favorite thing.
I love athletic power forwards, as everyone knows. I can't evaluate them properly. Big wide receivers. Again, I fall in love. I get this idea in my head that they can't stop him. He's a big wide receiver, you see. He'll win every jump ball, which is stupid. But I love a good scat back. I love a good pass catch. Give me a Thurman Thomas over Derrick Henry all day, which I know is probably blasphemous to some folks because football is about power and toughness. That's cool. I'll take that guy. A little backfield, a little open space, him and a linebacker, a little shimmy, a little dart forward. Give me those 5-6 yards every time.
Give me a little Texas route.
I love it.
Let's run a little choice here, boys. Let's break a linebacker down with footwork.
Mm-hmm.
One-on-one, third down, make your quarterback right, move the sticks. I'm all in. Before J.D. McKissick, Larry Centers, go back to 1999. I think he caught 70 balls that year for the Norville Eugene Turner coordinated offense with the then Washington Redskins. But yeah, it's just, it's for me, man. So I'm excited to talk to Ekeler. That's at 3:30 today. Next on G&D, Adam Schefter seems to think he knows what the Commanders are doing at number 2. Or does he? This is The Fan. G&D on the Fan. Tickets to the D.C. Defenders could be yours 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. I still have not gotten confirmation from anybody who is doing the D.C. Triple Dip, the never-before-tried, only-for-the-brave-at-heart, three-game triple-header in D.C. sports this weekend. Now, for all the Wizards fans that were very upset that I didn't include them because they play on Sunday, this is because there are teams playing in this town and you can attend the games. So, Nationals 135, walk across the street, Audi Field Defenders, and then the Caps at Capital One Arena at 6. That's a damn good day.
That's a day.
Can you get to all three?
That's a day.
Send me your ticket stubs. We got to figure out something we'll do for listeners who send us a picture of their three ticket stubs. I'm going to brainstorm that a little bit.
Like, I'm thinking about saying, like, nice job. You know what I mean? Something like that? Like, is that a start?
I'd like to do better.
Oh, okay.
But I think we can.
It's like a starting point there.
Yeah, put our heads together and figure something out. So everybody was telling me yesterday that Adam Schefter says that the Commanders are taking Jaden Daniels at 2. And apparently he made that clear on a podcast that he was on his podcast, in fact, the Adam Schefter podcast. And he came out and he said the Commanders are going Jaden Daniels. And I said, well, let's give this a listen. Let me hear it with my own ears. I don't necessarily hear this definitive report from Adam Schefter that I now feel really good about the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels at 2, and I know they're going to because Shefty told me so. But I want to let you guys hear this. So Danny Ruye, give this a listen. We'll react accordingly.
I know we're not supposed to spoil picks. We'll see how the Commanders decide to move forward with the number 2 overall selection. But a little over a few weeks out, to me, I think the signs continue to point to Jaden Daniels being the second overall pick at number 2. Seems like he's popular in the scouting community. Seems like he would bring a lot of the attributes that the Commanders would like. I think Jaden Daniels would have a high level of interest in the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Las Vegas Raiders would have a high level of interest in Jaden Daniels. But there's one problem. The Commanders have the second pick. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to be somebody that really appeals to them, as he would a lot of teams, as talented as he is. And it's hard for me today, to see Jaden Daniels sliding much past pick number 2. So let's pencil him in there. And I know we're not supposed to reveal the picks in advance. We don't know what the picks will be.
Right.
But again, we'll see how the shakes out. I think that's how it's stacking up a few weeks out. Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, and then the New England Patriots would be on the clock at number 3.
Isn't it so funny how the aggregation game works?
100%.
Where the bold headline from that is Adam Schefter says Commanders will take Jaden Daniels 2nd, or thinks, which is true, that's what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a different connotation than what I just heard, which is pencil, not pen, right? Pencil, not Sharpie. I think, not I know. His logic was he's popular with scouts. You think? You mean
to say he is?
The guy with the big arm who runs a 4.440?
Uh-huh.
Scouts like him? Crazy. The guy that just won the Heisman Trophy and had a 50-tutty, 4-interception season in the SEC? He said he has attributes that the Commanders like. Oh, you mean being an all-world athlete, one of the fastest players, the quarterback position?
These are attributes.
In history, and can make every throw? Yeah, they might like those. He appeals to them. Sure he does. You know who else appeals to them in some way? May, McCarthy, Penix, Nix. So I don't know. What do you hear when you listen to that?
A couple things that annoy me, and I'm not picking on Adam Schefter at all. This is our landscape. If Adam Schefter goes, I can now report that the Commanders will take Jaden Daniels. What annoys me is multiple times is, I know we're not supposed to spoil the pick. We're talking about the night of the draft, before Goodell makes the announcement, you find out 90 seconds, the Jason Lock and four a bit, where you find out 90 seconds before it goes and you just say, the pick is Jaden Daniels.
That's actually a good point.
That's the spoiling of the pick. What you're doing is speculating.
Yeah, that was a really weird thing to say there.
I found that profoundly annoying.
Because unless you know who they're picking, which you went on to make very clear you didn't, unless you're protecting your sources, they've already told you who they're picking. But in that case, I think he would report it differently, right? The way he would go about it if he knew who they were taking is, he'd say, I have good information, or he'd just go harder.
Yeah,
I'd be very surprised if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really good about their match with. He didn't do that at all necessarily.
No.
So you're right. That phrase of We're not supposed to spoil the pick as if I say this, it's going to ruin the draft experience for people. That was a strange thing to say.
I found that very off-putting. The second thing is, again, this is not a report. The preeminent reporter in the NFL, which he still is, there are others who do an awesome job, but he is as sourced as they come, right? That guy saying, hosting his own show, it's not the report show. It's a, this is my time to be a personality and showcase and talk about things and speculate like everybody else does. You and I going, hey, I think they might take Drake May. That's not getting written up because you and I have an opinion, right, about something, or you think they're taking Daniels, or they're going to trade back, or whatever we're hearing, or something like that. There's a dramatic difference between a report and a dude talking, even if that dude is a reporter. See what I'm saying? Like, that's the part about this that bothers me. There's nothing wrong. He's got a podcast. I'm sure he's got millions of listeners and downloads and makes a ton of money from it, and good for him. But it's a problem that I have with our media landscape, and you touched on it, when aggregator Alvin is going, Adam Schefter says teams taking, the Commanders are taking Daniels, click here. That is infuriating to me. And again, he's done nothing wrong, but it's just the landscape where people cannot distinguish between a report and a this might happen. We need a 24/7, 365 news cycle, especially with a sport like the NFL that dominates everything, even when they're not playing football games for 6 months. So a, hey, this might happen, or this makes sense, becomes a digestible semi-report or something like that. As far as I'm concerned, if he's not reporting something, he's just another dude, right? Now, he's an informed dude, but that's as interesting to me as Chris Sims saying, I like this guy over this guy, or this scout saying, I like this guy over this guy, or Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports, or Tom Pelissero, or whoever else going, I think the guy that makes the most sense to me is J.J. McCarthy. These aren't reports. These are opinions that are being shared.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so, again, it sounds like I'm furious at him, and I'm not. It's just kind of the state of the union here when it comes to digesting material that bothers me.
Well, that's all. So it's confusing, I think, as a consumer at times as to what should I be paying attention to and what should I be believing, because different things come out constantly. Like, I was just seeing today there was a scouting service that suggests that Adam Peters loves Drake May. And they had this nugget that they're suggesting, and I haven't corroborated it, so I don't know if it's true, that Adam Peters, with San Francisco last year, went to 3 of Drake May's practices in private at North Carolina. Now, that's notable. That's abnormal that you would do that, and obviously they weren't even in the quarterback hunt. Could they have liked other players? Could he have just been in the area and swung by a couple times? Could it be that that's not even true? Like, all of those things are obviously options and on the table, I think. What I would say, though, is when Schefter decides that he is going to tell you what he thinks is going to happen with some conviction, and I don't put this in that category, listen. It's what happened with the coaching search, if you remember. He comes out and says, look out for Dan Quinn to Washington. When he says, look out for Jaden Daniels to Washington, the Commanders are closing in on, there are plenty of people in the building like, his coded words of protecting his sources. But when he starts to say this is who they're taking, that's when I think there's a couple of guys in the game that you can really trust, and he's one of them. He does not bat 1,000, but he bats higher than everybody else, I would say. 9-something. The other thing is they have been feeding the national media. Nobody else.
That's right.
Local reporters that bust their butts 70 hours a week, they're not getting anything, right? So they're not giving any information or helping anybody locally, really. Might be confirming something here or there. But this has been very much an ESPN kind of Adam Schefter operations. Me and Rappaport mixed in. So I think be on the lookout for him and be careful of like what you're listening to or following, right? Because not everybody's equal. Like the scouting service that I just mentioned that I haven't heard of is not the same as Schefter, right?
Right.
So I think that that's an important thing to remember too. But I bring up that story in that audio because I just think that's instructive too. I get texts from 2 or 3 different people today telling me Adam Schefter thinks the Commanders are drafting Jaden Daniels. And I'm like, oh, okay. A lot of people do. Is he reporting that? They're like, yeah, he's saying they're going to do that. And then you listen to that, and it's just not that at all. We're still at the point where Schefter is just like the rest of us, and he'll have more information in a couple of weeks, but I don't know that we're there yet.
Totally.
By the way, thank God we're 3 weeks away from the draft. That's the best part.
I agree with that.
And I love talking about the draft. This is, like you, one of my favorite times of the year. I'm so excited to have the number two pick and to be in quarterbackville. Like, this is awesome. It's a blast as someone who's a big draft guy. But the fact that we're finally within 3 weeks and we're getting closer and closer, and there's going to be some flames and not just some smoke. Thank you, baby. Sweet baby Jesus.
Here, here. So, and here's the thing. They've been
7 pound, 4 ounce baby Jesus.
That's how I like to picture him. They may very well draft Jaden Daniels. In fact, it's incredibly likely they do so, right? I mean, that's, you know, the latest odds probably don't happen. They may have May going ahead of him, but that changes every day.
Yeah, what do you make of that? And I know you're not big into, like, odds market in general, but that to me is revealing and indicative when there's shifts. Like, you like to say those buildings are not.
Right. They're not tiny
because they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
We saw a shift this week from Daniels to May.
So I've thought it's May for a while because it's almost like any kind of misdirection or spy craft is like going in the opposite direction. So the momentum for McCarthy
to be clear,
at one point.
Daniels was the favorite.
Yeah. Daniels at one point was the favorite. I think now maybe somebody found out something that says that it's May. But either way, it may very well be Daniels. And so what's gonna happen, what always happens with this sort of deal is people that don't report something. They speculate about it, whether they're bloggers or podcasters or radio hosts or national TV guys. And when it does happen, then you walk around going, I called that. That's different than saying this is a very reasonable thing that could happen. Does that make any sense? Like if it's not Jaden Daniels, at no point does Adam Schefter have to eat crow because he didn't actually report that it was happening. It's not a misreport. It'd say, hey, this is informed speculation. This would make a lot of sense. Scouts love the guy. You mean the Heisman Trophy winner with a once in a generation skill set of being able to throw the ball and run better than anyone else. Yeah, I think a lot of scouts might enjoy that. That's not special, but like reporting something and getting it wrong where you have to go, hey, I wear that. I got that wrong. This is, if it doesn't happen, there's nothing on the line there, right?
Should we care about the ages of these quarterback prospects at all? Let's get into that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Austin Eckler at 3:30. We're blitzing at 4. And why not? It is Friday, after all. A Grant and Danny's, Tony's, mailbag
there we go. Yeah.
At 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You got to give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can call us. It's Friday. We'll let our hair down. Ask us anything you want about any topic, sports, non-sports. The Grant and Danny's, Tony's. Mailbag.
So innovative. I hate patting ourselves on the back like that, but when, forgive us, when you come up with something on your own that's that genius, you gotta strut a little bit. You know what I mean? You gotta shake the tail when you walk. You know what I'm saying?
Got a peacock.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we'll do that. Nobody ever mentions the ages of May versus Daniels as the two guys we're debating between as the number two pick. So I want to pose this question on the MGM National Harbor listener line. 800-636-1067. Drake May is 2 years younger than Jaden Daniels, basically, right? I mean, there are months that you can factor in there, but 21-year-old Drake May, as we talk, 23-year-old Jaden Daniels. On top of that, Daniels has played 5 years of college football, like legitimate, sizable, on-field performance for 5 years. Drake May, 2 years of college football. So I guess it's a two-part question where I want to know, number one, do you care about that age discrepancy? Because this is not Michael Penix, who's going to be 24 in season next year. Daniels doesn't turn 24 until December, the very, very end of the football season. But he will be a 24-year-old rookie at one point in time, which is still a rarity, I would say. Do you care about that? Is that a factor that makes you move May at 21 further up the board or Daniels down at all? Or is it not a factor? And then the other thing, Danny, is, you know, what's the positive? What's the negative here? I don't even know how to read it. A lot of football for Daniels, starting at Arizona State, last couple years at LSU at the SEC level, playing as good a college football schedule as you're going to get. 5 seasons versus May, just 2 seasons. You could say that it's a good thing that he played so much football, had that experience, especially at the SEC level. You could also say for Drake May, maybe, because he only played a couple of years, there's more growth and upside and, you know, potential and future in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. How do you see the age, the experience part of the discussion?
So age is irrelevant to me and for almost all these guys, honestly, because these quarterbacks play till they're 40, You know what I mean? Brady, in his case, 45. That he's pretty exceptional.
But you'd agree that if you're 24 versus if you're 20, to be extreme, mm-hmm. you're way more of a finished product.
That.
The whole point of the draft is trying to draft the, you know, what a guy is in 5 years, so there's just way less room for growth.
Right. That's the part I care about. So if you're looking at someone's experience where, let's say for the sake of argument, Jaden Daniels was this kind of guy. Obviously, you're going to incrementally improve over the years. You play with great cast in LSU, you'll put up great numbers. But let's say from minute one at Arizona State, he was close to this. I'd go, this is pretty much a finished product. This is kind of what it is. That's not as exciting to me. The upward arc and growth is exciting to me, but like it's one of the reasons I think people are turned off, not to the fact that he's not going to get drafted. I mean, a little bit less high on Michael Penix because of all the years, and he's kind of doing this, and he's in his mid-20s, and he's got a number of injuries. It's like, yeah, this you're pretty close to your ceiling here with this guy. Whereas May's best case is we haven't scratched the surface. 2 years as a starter at a mediocre program, with all due respect to UNC, compared to some of these other guys, we're only beginning. There's tons of upside potentially. I care about the upside part of it. I care how close to your ceiling are you. But for a quarterback, an age, you know, 22, 23, 24, I'm nowhere near as concerned about it.
I think that's fair on the age. I expect less development the older you are, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that can be true from a physical and a mental standpoint, from a maturation standpoint, too. So I think the tiebreaker for me, maybe, if everything was equal, would be to go with the younger prospect. But there are examples of guys, and there's always going to be the break glass in case of emergency QB, so to speak. But there are examples of guys who just break every rule, where like Joe Burrow is a good example. Joe Burrow, in his first season, turned 24 years old in December. Essentially, he's the same exact age coming out as Jaden Daniels was, okay? It was held against him some, but not much. He was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, it did knock him in at all.
Just like I think it's not going to be held against Jaden Daniels much, and he's probably going to go number two or number three overall. But is there the less potential for kind of figuring more things out? Absolutely. The good thing for Joe Burrow is he didn't have a whole lot to figure out. Like, if you're already awesome, then that matters a little less. And maybe you could say that again about Jaden Daniels, can't you? He's already awesome. Now he's going to have to transition to the league, and obviously you got to make some adjustments. But Burrow, at the exact same age, did what Daniels is going to try to do. And that should make you feel a little bit better. But I'm going to take the guy I like more. Age is not a determining factor. I'm not telling you it's not a factor, though. It would absolutely be a tiebreaker. Or if it's really close, let's say out of 100, I've got May as a 90 and Daniels as a 8. Let's say Daniels at a 90 and May at an 87 or something, but one of them's a couple years younger with 3 years less football experience, I'll probably go with the younger, less experienced guy.
Well, conversely, think about why the NBA changed some of their rules for first-year players. Organizations got so tired of drafting the 18-year-old high school kid, waiting around for 3 or 4 seasons until he became a full-fledged NBA player, then you pretty much lose him. He'd go to free agency, right? So that they said, okay, let's just wait a little bit. We still want to draft young players with upside. So this is the necessary process where guys are going 2, 3, 4 years in college to sort of be closer to their finished product. So, I mean, I kind of get it. If someone's at is even, if there is such a thing, yeah, give me the younger guy.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. About an hour away from giving away those D.C. Defenders tickets for their 4 o'clock game on Sunday, and 37 minutes away from Austin Eckler right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.